unless we take it out on his wallet. Huh? With a slow smile spreading across his youthful face, Stavanger said, if he's found guilty of murder, or even attempted murder, maybe the court can divest him of his share of star power and keep him from taking over Astro Corporation. George huffed. I'd rather punch his ribs in. So would I, Stavanger admitted. But I think he'd rather have his ribs punched in than to have to give up Astro and star power.
Haven.
There it is, Pancho sang out. How's that for navigation? Dan crouched slightly behind the command chair and peered through the window. The asteroid was visible to their naked eyes now against the distant glow of the sun's zodiacal light, a dumbbell-shaped dark mass tumbling slowly end over end. Fuchs stood beside Dan, his hands on the back of Amanda's chair. It's two bodies in contact, he said, like Castalia and several others. Looks like a peanut, said Dan. A peanut made a rock, Pancho said. No, no, Fuchs corrected. A peanut made up of thousands of little stones, chondrules that are barely holding together in their very weak mutual gravitational attraction. Uh-huh. Look, you can see craters on the surface. Dan strained his eyes. How in hell can he see craters on that black slug in this dim lighting? They have no rims, Fuchs went on, talking fast in his excitement. Smaller objects have collided with the asteroid, but they don't make impact craters as they would on a solid body. They simply burrow into the loose rubble. Same as we're going to do, Pancho said. Our storm cellar, Amanda added, glancing up at Fuchs. It's our storm cellar only if he's right, Dan added silently. If that chunk out there really is a beanbag, and we can dig into it until the storm's over. Aloud, he asked, how long before the radiation starts to build up? 4 hours, plus a few minutes, Pancho said. Plenty time. You hope, Dan said to himself. She established Star Power 1 in a close orbit around the tumbling asteroid, and then the four of them floated weightlessly down to the airlock, where Dan and Fuchs had already assembled 6 emergency tanks of air. As they wriggled into their spacesuits, Fuchs begged to go out the airlock first, but Dan overruled him. Pancho goes first, Lars. You're still a tenderfoot out there. Through his fishbowl helmet, Fuchs's broad face frowned in puzzlement. But my feet are fine, he said. Why are you worried about my feet? Dan and Pancho both laughed, but Amanda shot an annoyed glance at Dan and said, it's an American expression, Lars, from their western frontier long ago. Yep, Dan conceded. I learned it from Wild Bill Hickok. Getting serious, Pancho said, we can go together, Lars and me, whenever you guys are ready to stop horsing around. Aye, aye, Captain, said Dan, touching his helmet with a gloved hand in a sloppy salute. Pancho and Fuchs went through the airlock, and once it cycled, Dan and Amanda. While he stood in the cramped metal chamber listening to the air pumps clatter dwindle to silence, he heard Fuchs's excited voice through his helmet speaker. It's like a sand pile. Dan offered a swift thanks to whatever gods there be. Maybe we'll all live through this after all. With Amanda, he went through the airlock and then jetted the 100 meters or so separating the ship from the asteroid. It sure looks solid, Dan thought, staring at the black, slowly tumbling mass as he approached it. And yes, there were craters here and there with no rims to them, just holes, as if some giant had poked his fingers into the asteroid. Then he saw Fuchs's helmet and shoulders. The rest of him was in some sort of a pit. He's digging like a kid in a sandbox, Dan saw. As he got closer, Dan saw that the surface of the asteroid looked hazy, blurred. Is he stirring up that much dust? Dan asked himself. No, it's not just where Fuchs is digging. It's everywhere. The whole surface of the asteroid is blurry. What the hell is causing that? Are my eyes going bad, or is the surface blurred? He said into his helmet microphone. dust, came Fuchs's immediate reply. Particles from the solar wind give the dust an electrostatic charge. It makes the dust levitate.
That doesn't happen on the moon, Dan objected.
The moon is a very large body, said Fuchs. This asteroid's gravity is too weak to hold the dust on the surface. Just then Dan touched down on Haven. It was like stepping on talcum powder. His boots sank into the dark dust almost up to his ankles, even though he came down with a feather-light touch. Cripes, he thought. It's like one of those black sand beaches in Tahiti. Dan turned and saw Pancho, long and lean, even in her spacesuit, gliding across the asteroid's dusty surface toward him.
Bring out the air tanks, Mandy, Pancho said. Amanda soared weightlessly to Star Power One's airlock, then emerged again, towing a string of six tall gray cylinders behind her. In her gleaming white spacesuit, she looked like a robot nurse, followed by a half-dozen unfinished pods.
Better start digging, boss, Pancho said. Dan nodded, then realized that she might not be able to see the gesture. There wasn't all that much light out here, and they had decided to keep their helmet lamps off to save their suit batteries.
We go with the buddy system, Dan said, as he unlimbered the makeshift shovel he had carried with him. You and me, Pancho. Amanda, you stay with Lars.
Yes, of course, Amanda replied.
It wasn't quite like digging at the beach, more like working on a giant black hunk of Swiss cheese, Dan thought. There were holes in the surface, tunnels that had apparently been drilled by stray chunks of rock hitting the asteroid. There was no bedrock, just a loose rubble of black rounded grains, the largest of them about the size of a small pebble. It's a wonder they hold together, Dan thought.
Here's a ready-made tunnel for two, Pancho called to him. He saw her slowly disappearing into one of the tunnels. It was wide enough for the two of them, just barely.
How far down does it go? Dan asked as he gingerly slid over the lip of the crater, careful not to catch his backpack.
Dunno, Pancho answered. Deep enough to ride out the storm.
Better start filling in the hole. He nodded inside his helmet and took a tighter grip on his improvised shovel. It had been a panel covering an electronics console. They had to cover themselves with at least a meter of dirt to protect against the oncoming radiation. As he dug away at the sides of the sloping tunnel, Dan expected the gritty dirt to slide down into their hole. That's what would have happened on Earth or even on the Moon. But Haven's gravity was so slight that the tunnel walls would not cave in, no matter how furiously he dug into them. In short order, he and Pancho, working side by side, had buried themselves as deep as their waists. Not enough, Dan knew. Nowhere near enough. Not yet.
How are we doing?
On time, he asked Pancho, panting from the exertion of digging. She straightened up. Let me see, she said, tapping at the keyboard on her left forearm. Dan could see a multicolored display light up on her bubble helmet. Radiation level's not up much over ambient yet, she said.
How soon? Dan asked impatiently.
The lights on her helmet's inner face flickered, changed.
Hour and a half, maybe a little less.
Dan went back to digging, blinking sweat out of his eyes, wishing he could wipe his face or just scratch his nose. But that was impossible inside the suit. Should have worn a sweatband, he told himself. Always did when I went outside. Been so long since I've done any EVA work, I forgot it. Hindsight's always perfect. You know, we're gonna need at least a meter of this dirt over us, Pancho said, digging alongside him.
Yep.
And then dig our way out after the cloud passes.
Yep, Dan repeated.
It was the most he could say without stopping work. His muscles ached from the unaccustomed exertion. It seemed like hours later when he heard Pancho's voice in his helmet speaker.
How are you guys doing, Mandy?
We're fine. We found a lovely cave, and we have it almost completely filled in.
Once you're all covered over, it's going to degrade our radio link, Pancho said.
Yes, I'm sure it will.
Got your air tanks in there with you?
Yes, of course.
Dan saw that there.